Welcome to a concert of electroacoustic and visual music with our special guest, Karen Michoy.
Hello, everyone.
We're going to have a brief informal conversation to get to know Dr. Choi and have an introduction to the music on the concert itself. This is an unplanned conversation.
Yes, I have no idea what we're going to talk about.
Well, you know, when I picked you up yesterday at the airport, I decided to take not the interstate back up to Ames, but some country roads.
Yes.
And I had some trouble with that. And we used the GPS system, but the GPS system is always wanting to take you the shortest way to a destination rather than the most interesting or the most beautiful way to a destination. So I was thinking about that in relation to a story I know about how you became a composer. And I'm wondering if you could share with us kind of the path to your becoming a composer.
Thank you. And I would like to, first of all, thank for Dr. Hopkins having me here. And I'm very grateful. And thank you so much for joining us today. The way I came to be a composer was a rather unexpected journey. I started as a just a little person who loved music, but I didn't go to music school or didn't do any formal training. I self-taught how to play keyboard here and there, but I ended up being a chemistry major person. Loved it, but continued to explore, to look for something that I can really feel more creative space. So I went to literature study for master program, and I loved it, but still my music loving, that kind of connection wasn't there. So I came much later in my life to think about coming back to music, and I thought about I'm going to be organist. I just saw this organ here. I play organ. I'm not a concert organist, but I just love the sound of organ. But everybody thought I was too late. But knowing all these different paths I came with, I realized composition is a part of the discipline that I could really explore my creative thinking. And that's how I arrived, and I'm enjoying it. I am so far. I'm not planning anytime soon to leave this discipline. And yet I am thinking about how wonderful it is to be able to relate all the things that I learned in my life. Nothing lost, you know. So that part I'm very grateful.
The musical ideas I hear when I listen to your music are very beautiful. And I wonder how you get ideas for music.
It's a very hard question because I think every piece is different. But the way I compose is very depending on piece by piece. But in general, I try to imagine. Imagination to me is very important a factor as a writer. We might have some habits or way of thinking that kind of becoming settling so that you feel comfortable and you go back the way you used to do. It's very tempting and it's always there. And I don't think that there's nothing wrong with going back to what you used to do and you keep doing it. But the most exciting part about composition is unknown and explore unknown territory to figure out what will be next, you know. And so what I do is actually I close my eyes. I love closing my eyes because that really helps me to focus on my imagination. And also when I listen to music, I wanted to kind of cut different sensory so that I can have more focused mind to the sound itself. So when I close my eyes and think about where this musical energy is trying to travel, And I start hearing different kind of color, different kind of gesture, different kind of sonic component. And I started to kind of make singing, you know, sometimes, or tapping, or, and then I started recording, you know. But nothing can actually capture the imagined sound in my head until I really lay out, you know, all the components. And those things I think it's really valuable, imagination.
Well, a lot of times when I'm asked what I do, and I say I'm a composer, and they say, "Oh, what do you compose for?" And I say, "Well, I use computers, and it's a lot of electronic sounds, and there's a kind of technology." Yeah, technology, and it seems scary. People, I wonder how you feel about using technology so much in an aesthetic medium. I mean, is it a technological medium? Is it an aesthetic medium? What's your approach and feeling about working with so much technology to make your compositions?
That's an excellent question. And I tend to think, when there was nothing before, and paper and pencil, that was technology, you know. And there was nothing printing happening. There's no book. That was technology. And I think there's always some kind of resistance to newer medium for any society. So what I value is technology is not something that will overpowering our imagination. It is assisting what we can do and expanding and augmenting. So, and I'm not really into just technological device, what this toy can do to me. I am using my imagination to find a way that it can assist me. So I will never find anything kind of thinking of, oh, this is, I'm not gonna be able to do anymore what I want. I'm just gonna learn how much I can. If I find nothing really interesting, I'm not gonna spend my life to try to figure it out. I'll just move on. Yeah, so technology is there when I need it, but if it's not necessarily what I'm looking for, I don't feel like I have to use.
We had a composition seminar yesterday. There's my three composition students and Kyung Mi, and we spoke a lot about your development, which, like our way back up here along the west side and through Nevada, Madrid, that it was not exactly a straight line. It started differently than we thought it would end up. And I wonder if your experience of having studied in the sciences first, how much that was involved in your transition to working in the creative arts?
Right. Thanks for asking. I actually shared with our students here, and the way of thinking is really, for me, interesting, because I emphasize that composition is actually a way of thinking, and is a specifically particular way of thinking, you know. So I believe thinking itself is a pattern or even habit, so we can always change the way we think. And that's where I found myself from field of in science and literature, and kind of venturing out, approaching painting and doing some writing poetry. And all these things make me think about how much our way of thinking can be fragile too, you know. And we are so, in a way, stubborn about the way we think about things, or the way we envision, or the way we see the world. But if we are remaining open, there are so many perspectives that we are not accustomed to. So I found myself to be able to shift around different way of thinking. And science thinking is necessarily not, I'm not operating that way anymore. It's not. I'm still carrying the legacy of what I learned from there. And, you know, you need to prove, you need to have evidence, and you need to have a logical way of progressing. But science field also has an enormous imaginative way of, you know, looking at the world and universe. And I do believe that every single piece I'm doing, I'm trying to find a way how my way of thinking can be shifted just a little bit, you know. And that, to me, it's a very precious gift that I can give myself. And it, in a way, just getting to experience that little shift gives me a hope, you know, that humanity, because a lot of times what we're experiencing in society is a very difficult and challenging situation. People cannot compromise. People cannot listen to each other because we are so bound to our way of, particular way of thinking, you know. So this is a, almost like healing for me as a writer, that if I can change the way I think, it is hopeful. Yeah.
You mentioned to us yesterday a particular process of healing that changed your approach to composition.
Yes. Well, going back to what I was talking about a little bit, I was very conceptual thinker because coming from science, I was very interested in structure and form and wanting to provide musical content in the structure. And I had a car accident in my doctoral program, which was actually a really bad one. The seatbelt was open so that I was pushed to passenger side. But if it didn't happen, I could have been just dead. So because of that accident, I was going through quite a long depression because I couldn't go back to school. I was off for another whole semester. And so I just starting to messing around, you know, little color, watercolor paint. And at that time, nothing mattered. Literally, nothing mattered. So I just didn't think about anything that I'm gonna create this particular form of piece, you know. I just sit down and doing little nothing. And just responding one color after another color, I found intuitive response was very attractive. And I starting to realize what intuition was actually operating in me, that I could listen more. So I feel a little bit more confidence in listening and looking. So my composition process after all these things, you know, I got healed, you know, I got better, so I started walking again. I started using my intuitive mind more in my composition. And one composition that really had a breakthrough for me was I just didn't worry about any notes that I need to put, which note I should go with. I just write down what I like about, what I really enjoy. And all of a sudden, I realized I can do this. That was funny.
So you mentioned also being a painter and this experience, but you became more of a painter, not just some early experiments. You continued in that and then returned to composition. And I wonder if you have any comments about, for you, any crossover between your paintings or water drawings, watercolors, and your approach to composition in a studio, like especially electroacoustic music, which tends to be very colorful, and because the sound moves, you can have a sense of line that's more in a space than you might have when you're, for example, writing for a particular performer. It would have a location. But I wonder if you could comment more on kind of your experience with working with painting and that kind of space and electroacoustic music, which is also written in a kind of acoustic space.
Yes, again, we didn't rehearse. But it's a lot of questions that ask me about experience, so it's very wonderful. Thank you. I actually didn't really have any correlation, you know, when I started. And I actually didn't like trying to deliberately find the connection between visual and music because it was just kind of growing by itself, you know. But over time, what I realized is I have some kind of way of seeing artistic expression that in the visual, I kind of like to see something representational and yet very abstract environment. And music, I also see similarly, a little bit more something that audience can launch or grasp, but actual space is very open and unexpected. So that combination to me is very common in both medium, because I found if we are just throwing all this absolute abstract, it is in a way kind of up to everybody's imagination. But if you are just handing a little bit of something representational or something you can recognize, then there is a different type of attraction that audience can have. Then from there, their mind starting to unfold because they recognize some references, but it's not exactly how they thought about their reference. So I love those little tweaks, and I love individual to have something they can kind of see, but it's not really there, so they're trying to look for it. You know, those things I found is very interesting.
Well, this makes a very good transition to, toward starting our concert this evening. If, as far as some sense, some representation and some abstraction in music, in particular with the first piece, Train of Thoughts.
Yes, the first piece you'll hear, it's called Train of Thoughts, and you will hear train sound or sound of, you know, very recognizable sound that you will hear in regular, any kind of train station. But the piece is about when you ride a train, your mind starting to going all the different places, and that it brings your, you know, old memory or past, you know, sad moments or really joyful moments, and it kind of travels along with the train, and while train keeps making noise, your mind is also kind of interacting with that train sound. So you will be waking up again by train sound, but then you're kind of zooming or dreaming back to your memory, and that whole journey itself was very interesting. Because that piece was really when I was riding an elevated subway, we call L in Chicago, just riding the train and just mind kind of wandering around. And I thought that was a very interesting phenomena I wanted to capture. So that's why I wrote the piece.
So in the compositions that involve saxophone and piano, what kind of sense of representation happens in those?
So when I say representational in music or sonic world, is more about probably melodic line or something that you can actually hum or tune that you can remember. So there is something that you can really relate as a musical idea. You know, those things you will hear in the saxophone and electronic piece, also piano piece, there's a kind of reoccurring kind of tune, I would say, melodic line coming back. And those things are the ones that I would say representative.
Mm-hmm. So the electroacoustic sound, first of all, what does electroacoustic mean to you?
Well, that's a very broad question. People say anything coming from speakers or anything that you record and manipulate it. To me, the way I think about electronic medium is something that either human or instrument itself might not be able to present, that you could really rely on the sound world that any player themselves are not necessarily be able to present themselves. However, it can be augmented in a way that it's a virtual instrument. So, you know, for instance, if you're playing with saxophone, I incorporate a lot of saxophone sound so that electronic part can augment saxophone players' ability even further by supporting their virtuosic playing, you know. So I think of it as more like extension of the instrument.
We're nearing time for the concert, so I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And we hope you'll enjoy the concert ahead. We're going to take a little bit of time just to clear the stage and set for the concert. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay.